Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
After two or three or four or five properties, you know, they get to a point where, you know, they're very comfortable, you know, kind of going off themselves and buying properties. And I actually take a lot of pride in that, to get them, you know, hopefully, I guess maybe I played a large part to get them to that point.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode of Invest Like a Pro, presented by Housefinder, we're chatting with buyer's agent Simon Liu. We find out how to buy properties below market value, hear about a story where a couple utilized a strategy that improved their property portfolio, and delve into the advantages of using a buyer's agent. Simon Liu is a property buyer's agent and also director of Housefinder. His company helps clients find and purchase investment properties under market value. In order to learn more about our topic, Invest Like a Pro, Liu shares with us a particular client to help us understand how he was able to help them improve their portfolio.
This particular client I have had already bought two properties off just from their own research. They're a mid-30s couple with two kids. Working in the corporate world, earning a combined income of around $200,000 a year. Now, they initially got started researching and buying property just from, you know, listening to podcasts just like this and, you know, reading up on online forums and doing their own research. And when they embarked on their journey to buy their first property, they told me they found the process quite frustrating, mainly due to the lack of time factor. So, you know, even though they had all the research and they kind of knew what they were doing, they, you know, really only had weekends and lunch hours and after hours to go and inspect or talk to agents about property. And it took them about 6 months to buy their first property, and then consequently another 4 months to buy their second property. So a year in total. Now, I know that sounds quite ambitious in terms of the relatively small time frame, but they initially had around about 120k saved up, and that's in cash, correct? Yeah, really good sort of saving effort from them. But you know, the properties that they ended up buying, just from my experience and knowing the area that they bought in, which was in Southeast Queensland, quite well, was that they were probably not. They weren't the worst of deals, but they weren't the greatest of properties either. And in many ways, they were probably sold those properties by the selling agents that sold it to them as, you know, great investment potential and all that type of stuff.
An expert property buyer has the experience and knowledge to understand where and what to buy. We hear an example that Liu provides about a couple of his clients and where they went wrong.
These properties were bought in your more sort of working class areas within Brisbane, within 30 kilometers of Brisbane City, and essentially they were townhouses. So, you know, there were three bedroom townhouses, relatively new. But in this particular area that they bought in, townhouses are not you know, usually the best type of property to purchase for a couple of reasons. A, because the value of buying a proper house and proper land is not that much difference in terms of price compared to the townhouses. And also, essentially, you know, just looking at comparable sales, you know, they kind of overpaid for these townhouses with the promise of very high cash flow. But what they didn't realize was that these townhouses actually had quite high body corporate. And when the rent is quite low and the percentage yield or the cash flow is quite high, you know, it's very sensitive to costs such as, you know, body corporate, you know, or maintenance or things like that. So anyway, they bought these properties, they rented it out, you know, for the properties were around about $230,000 each, which in townhouse world in these areas is not cheap. And, you know, they haven't been doing too badly, but it's important to remember that townhouses in these in sort of lower socio areas tend to attract a very low demographic of tenants. So, you know, touch wood that they don't encounter any further rental issues. But, you know, in the long run, in these particular areas, it's always better to have houses as well. The other main reason, I guess, why having houses is also important is because you can actually add value to them. You know, if you own the land, if you own the house, you can actually, you know, convert the house, you know, from three to four bedrooms, or, you know, add an extra bathroom in a laundry or something like that. But, you know, as three bedroom townhouses or units, you can really only, you know, sell them as two or three bedroom units, you know, when it comes to exiting that property.
And the challenge with that as well is with townhouses, it's already completed. Therefore, you can't really add an extra room. You can't really quite do much. I mean, the most you could probably do is go in, do a paint job, maybe just update some of the furnishings and the fixings inside. Yeah, but that's about it. And you've got to even go through strata as well to actually get all of this approved. So there's a lot of restrictions by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
And for an extra 70 to 80K or so, you could potentially purchase yourself a house, which you could potentially add more value on, which get more equity. So there's actually obviously an interesting thing that we're just comparing the two. And this is not necessarily where most people will head, but for a good investment, you'd probably want to look at the fundamentals. So maybe let's talk a little bit about some of the fundamentals that you'd be looking at helping them with this.
Basically what happened was after they bought these two properties, they then sort of reached out to me after reading about a little bit about my property journey and, you know, the type of properties I was buying for my clients. And that's when I sort of really sort of dived into, okay, why are you buying property? What's your goal? What's the reason why you bought two properties in the space of 1 year, and within just 6 months again, now you're looking to buy another one and then maybe another one after that? You know, we worked out, you know, just through our initial conversation that, you know, they ultimately had a goal of achieving around $80,000 of passive income from their property portfolio, and they wanted to achieve this within around about a 10-year time frame. So that's when I sort of worked out, okay, you know, to achieve around $80,000 a year, you're probably going to need around 4 to 5 properties fully paid off, you know, so, you know, on average, each of those properties bringing in about $400 a week in rent for you to achieve that goal. And to get to 4 to 5 properties paid off, you probably need to buy between 10 to 15 properties within that time frame. And the idea is by the time you get to that point, you're going to have the option to maybe sell down some of your initial ones to offset or to pay off some of the later ones, which is a strategy that I've done personally for me to get my initial passive income for me to quit my job about, you know, 4 years ago. So from that perspective, you know, that was the goal. So if they wanted to achieve, you know, 10 to 15 properties within a 10-year time frame, then they're looking at around 1 to 1.5 purchases a year consistently. Now, from that, we have to look at what type of properties to buy. And the fundamentals for me when looking at the type of properties that are conducive to that passive income goal is that they must have good cash flow from the get-go, because, you know, when you buy 1, 2, or 3 properties with negative cash flow, it doesn't hurt you too much. But when you're buying, if your goal is to buy, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10, you really need each property to be performing and to be looking after themselves. Otherwise, you know, you're going to expose yourself to a lot of risk, because, you know, maintenance and tenancy issues and vacancies will happen, and they'll happen exponentially the more properties you own.
When you are building your portfolio and buying properties, there will be hits and misses. Lou explains how having more positive cash flow in your portfolio can help balance everything out.
So if you've got one property that's struggling and you've got 8 other properties that are doing well, it's kind of like you've got, you know, it balances out at the end. It still doesn't impact on your, you know, day-to-day living or your income or anything like that. So that's number one. The second fundamental I look for is definitely having properties that are, you know, houses on their own blocks of land, for a couple of reasons. The main reason is that you have control over that property completely. you know, a lot of the times when I buy, look for properties for clients, you know, I look for properties that have potential to add value beyond painting and new floors and new kitchens and bathrooms, beyond the cosmetic stuff. So what I mean is maybe, you know, adding an extra room, extra bedroom, or maybe adding an extra bathroom, or maybe a property that has enough side access or a corner block where you can, you know, put on a dual living type scenario further down the track. So why this is important is because it gives you control over the property. Otherwise, you're at the mercy of the market. You know, if you buy a 2 or 3 bedroom townhouse, whether the market goes up or down or sideways, you still can only ever own a 2 or 3 bedroom townhouse when you sell it at the end of the day. So having that control, you know, enables you to add real value to it, which means that if you are maybe forced to sell, when you choose to sell the property one day, you can get more dollar for it at the end of the day. And really, you know, just the fundamental of property investing is that land appreciates and buildings depreciate. So when you buy, you know, a townhouse, for example, where you don't essentially own the land, then you've really only got a product that obviously, you know, not taking into account market growth, a product that's, you know, only going to experience maintenance and wear and tear over time. The third fundamental that I really focus on is, and this is probably the most important one, is probably finding properties that are distressed.
It is human nature to be looking for a good bargain when purchasing any type of property. We find out Lou's best tips on being able to find the best deal in investment properties.
Like anything in life, you know, we always want a good deal, whether we're buying a car or groceries or, you know, and definitely property, because when you buy a property at market value, you basically are buying something that, you know, you're only relying on the market going up for you to make money. Whereas if you're buying something, and I know this term gets spruced around a lot, like buying below market value, but if you buy genuinely below market value, you can actually make money on the way in buying these properties. So, you know, why I look for distress scenarios? I mean, distress can be people, you know, getting divorces, people moving overseas, people, you know, losing their jobs. Think any reason why a seller would need to sell that property very urgently piques my interest, because that's an opportunity maybe for me, if I'm at the right time, at the right place with the right offer, to pick up a house or a property, you know, for less than what it's actually worth in real values. So what I did with this particular client is, with the first property that they bought through me, you know, the house value was approximately $325,000. And this was based on direct comparable sales, meaning properties that, you know, have basically exactly the same that have sold in the past 3 months in the same area, surrounding streets. And we managed to purchase this property just slightly below 280K. So, you know, we were kind of at the right place, the right time. The property hadn't hit the market yet, because it was a bit of a sensitive situation, where the sellers didn't want to sell the property publicly. They didn't want it to be public knowledge. I believe they were actually getting a divorce, so they didn't want to have their house on the market so that, you know, maybe their friends and family would know that, you know, what's happening. So, you know, the agent, you know, that was that they engaged, called me up and said, hey, I've got this house. The house, you know, was fine. It's been lived in by the couple for a number of years. So there wasn't any sort of major, you know, structural or, you know, termite or pest issues with the property. It was in a very livable condition. So he called me up and he said, hey, Simon, you know, I've got this house. It needs to go urgently. If you can get me an offer today, you know, there's a good chance that that we can get it for pretty cheap. And that's when I started negotiating and I presented the property to this particular client.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into the advantages of using a buyer's agent.
I think a lot of people, you know, use buyer's agents like me because, they kind of want to save time and energy and focus on other things. But I think more importantly is that, you know, there is a higher chance of me getting access to a better deal.
The importance of having a reliable team around you.
So having the right, you know, eyes and ears on the ground is super important from every aspect.
And that's next. I'm Tarun Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Have you been looking for months and getting frustrated each property you've seen seems to be a lemon? or just stuck on what property to buy next for your portfolio? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone. For being a loyal listener of the podcast, Simon Liu is offering a free 1.5-hour strategy session, normally $500. He will help you put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au or call 0415-626-342 and quote Property Investory. With the expert advice of Liu, his client went through with a deal and they were not disappointed with the result.
They ended up buying the property for, you know, just below 280K, which is really good. Yeah, so it was like three-bedroom house, typical three-bedroom brick house, around 25Ks from Brisbane CBD, on about 600 square meter block. A really nice, it's like quite a family-friendly area. You know, close to school, shops, parks, transport, like all the fundamentals are there. And there was an opportunity because the house had two living spaces to convert one of the living spaces into a fourth bedroom, which isn't something that we did or they're doing immediately, but they're going to keep that on the back burner for the future when they, you know, decide to maybe increase the rent or the equity or to sell the property one day to do that. So we purchased the property, we rented it out. The property rented for, from memory, I think $340 a week, which would have been positive cash flow from day one. And probably the most important thing was that within about 4 months, we were able to take out around about 40K equity for the client to use towards the next property. So 40K isn't going to, you know, completely buy you another property.
Once you buy the first property, most people find it difficult to buy the second or the third. Liu provides strategies on how you can reach that next step.
So 40K was basically just purely by buying wealth, you know, buying distressed. You know, I think, very rarely can you take 10 to 15% of the value of a property out in equity just by buying and doing nothing, you know, signing some paper and paying some money as a deposit. So anyway, we took this equity out and we went shopping for another property after that. And we ended up with another property that was pretty much identical to that property, you know, very similar numbers. We're kind of in the throes of just waiting for the next lot of equity from that second property to come back. And from there, we're going to sort of think about, okay, you know, what's next? Because you have to remember as an investor that every time you take equity out, it takes a hit on your cash flow. So when you start off with positive cash flow on each property, if you take equity out, you're basically taking a little mini loan. And that can put the cash flow position back into, you know, neutral or maybe even slightly negative territory. So the third property that we're buying is probably going to be a property where it has, a little bit more cash flow just to help offset some of the early purchases, and maybe in a completely different area entirely, just to diversify a little bit. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a strategy that's kind of, you know, getting them on their way to reach that goal. You know, they're kind of four properties in now, so.
We learn about the situation that Liu's clients were in prior to working with him and looking for guidance.
So those townhouses, because of the fact that they're paid a little bit too much for them beyond the market value of the properties, they were pretty much right on neutral, you know. So, you know, this is not including depreciation reports because they were fairly new kind of units or townhouses, so maybe around 10 years old or 10 or 15 years old, something like that. But they were, you know, they, after they were rented, they were fairly just neutral, but, you know, the growth prospects on something that you already paid too much for, you know, if there is any growth in the market, A, then it needs to catch up to market value, and then it needs to grow beyond that. And I guess the reason why, in this particular case, the townhouses were not, in my opinion, not as great as house on land is because, you know, you can see the difference between, the value of the townhouse. They paid $230 and I managed to buy a house for $280. You know, the difference in price point isn't very high. You know, I never kind of judge people's portfolios, and I, personally, I don't have a crystal ball, so I don't know, you know, what's going to go up or down. But, you know, I think, you know, generally speaking, having a house on land is always going to be way more value than owning a townhouse pretty much anywhere in a capital city. So, look, I wouldn't say it's a mistake, but, you know, I would say that there could have been definitely a better purchasing criteria. So, yeah, that's what we ended up doing.
Some people out there might think that they can do the research and don't need a buyer's agent. However, Lou explains the advantages of having one in your corner.
I think that's a great question, and there's so many different reasons why people would use a buyer's agent. And, you know, everyone's a little bit different. You know, there are some people who, you know, have the time and the luxury and the energy to, you know, spend, you know, their weekends entirely or after hours and, you know, maybe even during the day to help them find properties. You know, there are also people out there that, you know, may be very confident in purchasing in different markets, especially markets that are interstate, that are they're not easily accessible. I mean, drawing back onto this particular couple, I think they were, you know, a little bit mixed in terms of they didn't really have the time or the energy to, you know, spend all their weekends and after hours researching property, especially with two little kids. So that was probably a big factor for them. But, you know, to buy those initial properties that they bought themselves, it took them 6 months and they ended up with a fairly mediocre outcome. And really, the bottom line of them reaching that outcome is purely because they, you know, didn't have the contacts that's required to get, you know, abnormally good deals. You know, so they don't have selling agents calling them, you know, telling them, hey, you know, I've got this guy, he's about to lose his job and, you know, this is the house, this is the property, what do you think? And I think maybe it got to a point for them where they just got frustrated and they just ended up, you know, just buying something. I think a lot of people, you know, use buyer's agents like me because, they kind of want to save time and energy and focus on other things. But I think more importantly is that, you know, there is a high chance of me getting access to a better deal. And, you know, I can negotiate on a Wednesday at 2 p.m., you know, I'm always on the ground looking for deals, analyzing deals, working with selling agents. And I do a lot of that research already as to, okay, you know, why is this a good area? Why is this a good property? Why is it a bad area or a bad property? You know, maybe we should avoid flood zones, bushfire zones, power lines, you know, all these types of things I've already got, a lot of experience on.
We hear an interesting perspective from Lou on what his ultimate goal is for his clients once he has been with them for a period of time.
I think the benefits of using, you know, certain buyer's agents are quite clear. But I guess what these particular clients were after as well was a little bit of guidance, a bit of mentorship. So, you know, they approached me after reading about me on my property journey and they kind of had a little bit of, faith in the beginning that I've got a lot of experience in investing in my own portfolio. So I think that helped. And, you know, to this day, you know, after buying those properties, you know, I still mentor them. They still hit me up, you know, with questions about maintenance or tenancy issues or whatever. And I'm more than happy to, you know, help out, even though, you know, technically my job as buyer's agent is complete. And look, this is going to sound counterintuitive to what I do, but for me, it's actually, and this has happened to a lot of my clients, like, you know, I actually want them to get to a stage where they can comfortably do the research, find the properties themselves, you know, speak to the right people, have the right team around them, you know, property managers, solicitors, like all these types of people, where they essentially don't need to use a buyer's agent, you know. So, you know, I do have a lot of clients that start off very, very new, very fresh, very green. You know, we sit down, have that same conversation about, okay, why are you investing in property? What are your goals? You know, why should you buy in certain areas and what you should avoid and what you should buy and what you should do? And we get going, we buy some properties, I do some mentoring, and ultimately, you know, they, after two or three or four or five properties, you know, they get to a point where You know, they're very comfortable going off themselves and buying properties. And I actually take a lot of pride in that, to get them, you know, hopefully, I guess maybe I played a large part to get them to that point. So, you know, it's not just all about me finding as much property for people. I do have a lot of experienced investors still come to me for deals, because at the end of the day, I do get distressed deals. You know, people always want a bargain. So there's that as well. So there's a whole myriad of things.
Using a buyer's agent, you do not only get their wealth of knowledge and experience, but also the number of contacts that they have built up over their years.
Part of my process is, you know, introducing all the people that you essentially need to A, buy the property, and B, to maintain that property over time. Now, these people are essentially my own team. So, you know, look, when I first started investing, I made a lot of mistakes, like a lot of people do. And one of the biggest mistakes was having the wrong people as part of your team. So a very good example would be, you know, like a terrible property manager, where, you know, if they've got, you know, tradies in their books, where, you know, they may not be, you know, above board, or they might do something dodgy, or they might not do a great job in terms of maintaining your property, then it could be quite a nightmare for you, not only mentally but financially as well. So, you know, part of my job, I think it's very important that I'd never force any of my clients to use the people that I recommend, and the people I do recommend don't pay me anything, so there's no kind of financial benefit. But, you know, it makes my job a lot easier if I point them in the right direction of using a certain solicitor that I know has a lot of experience buying these types of properties and negotiating the way that I do. Or maybe, you know, part of my job is even helping people get some quotes. You know, if we buy a house that needs a little bit of work, which, let's be honest, a lot of properties do, we're not talking about major renos, but just little teething things here and there, you know, introducing to the right trades that I use personally to manage my own properties. You know, I know they're going to provide a great service. I know they're not going to rip them off. I know it's going to be efficient. And it just completes the property investing journey that they're on, especially if they're quite new. Because when you're quite new and you buy that first property, it's already daunting enough to actually buy it. And then when you come across solicitor issues or tradie issues or property manager issues, it can really affect you. Your attitude and your mentality in terms of progressing to your second property, your third property, and keeping, I guess, motivated on your goal. So, you know, having a good team around you is probably the single most important element of successful property investing. You know, there's no way you can do everything yourself. You know, a lot of my clients are buying interstate as well. So, you know, being 1,000 kilometers away, you know, if something happens, there's no way you can go there and look at every single little problem or even do things yourself. So having the right, you know, eyes and ears on the ground is super important from every aspect. So I think that's why, you know, building that team, helping them build that team around them is also, doesn't only help them, but helps me as well as a buyer's agent in the long run.
Thank you to Simon Liu, our guest on this episode of Invest Like a Pro, presented by Housefinder. Also, for being a loyal listener of the podcast, I've asked Simon to offer a free 1.5-hour strategy session that is normally $500. He'll help you put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au or call 0415 626 342 and quote Property Investory.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.